You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com. Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a dyed-in-the-fur allurophile, cat lover, and I'm not alone in my affinity for cats. It's estimated that over 93 million cats reside in the United States as compared to 78 million dogs. You may be surprised there are certain cats I don't recommend owning, namely big cats. I mean big, big cats. No, I'm not talking about pudgy Persians or corpulent calicos. No, lions, tigers, cougars, and even some breeds of somewhat domesticated cats like Savannahs. Too many people own these felines for bragging rights or economic gain. But what happens when these cats outgrow their cuteness or their unique husbandry needs can't be met? Zoos don't want them. You can't release them. Kill them? Enter Big Cat Rescue Sanctuary in Tampa, Florida, one of the very few facilities that emancipates these felines in a humane and loving manner. Get ready for 30 minutes of tales of salvation for some of the most gorgeous animals in the world. My guest is Susan Bass, Public Relations Director at Big Cat Rescue. And for a special treat, you can get some behind-the-scenes glimpses at this amazing sanctuary by clicking on the YouTube link at the Pet Doctor homepage on PetLifeRadio.com. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Are you confused by the overwhelming number of supplements for your dog? Developed by a veterinarian, Dr. Baker's all-natural canine system saver is designed to address many of the common problems your dog faces today, including inflammatory diseases, arthritis, hip dysplasia, geriatric problems, and more. Restore and maintain your dog's health with Dr. Baker's all-natural canine system saver. Order two bottles today and receive 20% off plus free shipping. Visit caninesystemsaver.com.
It's designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Susan, I have worked at Lion Country Safari here in Orange County, the Los Angeles Zoo, the Santa Ana Zoo, but going to Big Cat Rescue there in Tampa was absolutely thrilling. Now, I was there in April of this year, 2016, but the audio that I had with you just wasn't so good, so we decided, let's do this again. So we're a little bit out of order, but thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to do it.
Well, number one, give us a little background about how you got this position, because I'd kill for it. It's fabulous.
Thank you. I actually used to work at an advertising and public relations firm in Tampa, and Carol Baskin and her husband, Howard Baskin, had approached the agency about 2003, I believe, to actually change the name, come up with a new name for the sanctuary and a new logo and some other marketing help. At the time, the sanctuary was called Wildlife on Easy Street, which is actually the little dirt road that you go down, is called Easy Street. But not only did it not tell you that we have cats, but it sounded like we didn't need donations if they're on Easy Street.
Yeah, or maybe down in Louisiana.
Right, exactly. So some colleagues of the firm and myself, we met with Howard and Carol, and we came up with the name Big Cat Rescue, redesigned the logo, and helped with some other things. And I always stayed in touch with Howard and Carol. And about 6 years ago, it just kind of worked out that they were looking to hire a PR person, and I was kind of looking for a PR job. So they said, well, it would be amazing if you could actually come and be our director of public relations. And I've been here ever since. Just love it.
Now, Big Cat Rescue, I understand, really somewhat had a unique beginning where it was started from llamas and then went to 56 Bob kittens. Is that about the correct story?
It is. It sounds funny to say it like that. But yes, at the time, back in the early 90s, Carol Baskin was married to a different man, and they owned 45 acres in North Tampa. They had no intentions of using it for a big cat sanctuary. They'd never owned any exotic cats, although Carol had, of course, always been a big fan of domestic cats. And she and her husband went to an animal auction to actually purchase a couple of llamas to greenbelt the acreage that they own. Free lawnmower, what I always say.
Organic.
And when they got there, yes, exactly. When they got there, waiting for the llamas to come up for bid, there was a young bobcat that was being auctioned off. And the man standing next to Carol was actually bidding on the bobcat. And she was surprised, saying, you know, what are you going to do with that bobcat? Why would you want a bobcat? And he told her he was a taxidermist. So it was his plan to actually, yes, exactly, right. So Carol was horrified and made sure that she was actually the highest bidder and came home with Windsong, her very first bobcat. And that's how she ended up in the big cat world, if you will.
But then we went from Windsong, and then Windsong got some playmates, so to speak. How did the other 55 or 56 bobcats come into their possession?
Yes. Again, this is early 90s, so it was really pre-internet. But what bobcats will do, if you try to make them a pet, which we strongly, you know, discourage, is they will bond with one person to the point that they, you know, any other people, children, or animals in the house are actually could be bitten or scratched or basically ignored. So Windsong bonded with Carol, and her husband was a little jealous. He wanted to get his own bobcat. So they managed to find a place that sold bobcat and lynx kittens in Minnesota, and they drove all the way to Minnesota with Carol's daughter, Jamie, in the car. And when they got there, they found that it was actually a fur farm. Yes, the owner did sell some lynx and bobcats as pets, but he told Carol that most of them he just kept for a year. When they were full grown, they would be slaughtered to make fur coats. She was horrified. And again, not only paid the man top dollar to purchase all 56 bobcat and lynx kittens, but had him agree to go out of business, that he would no longer breed them. And eventually, in the next couple of years, she went back and rescued all of the adult lynx and bobcats that the man had too. But initially, that's kind of the story of the 56 bobcat lynx kittens that had to be bottle fed every 2 hours all the way back to Florida. And then as they grew up, so all of a sudden, Carol was, you know, literally
she's in
cats. Yes.
That must have been an amazing trip. And then I can only imagine what this house was like, because not having the compound, et cetera, to put them in is like, okay, cats going up the curtains and everything else.
Right. And at the time, you know, you couldn't just Google how to take care of a bobcat like you can now. But the only people she had to turn to for information on what to do with these wildcats was other breeders and exhibitors, you know, nearby. And they all told her, oh, you can make money during this. And if you hand rear them, they're tame and they make good pets, and you're actually saving the species from extinction. Well, bobcats are native throughout North America, including Florida. They breed incredibly well on their own. They have no reason to be worried about, you know, needing to be conserved. And basically, you know, told her a bunch of lies that after a few years, she realized, wait a minute, you know, I'm breeding these cats to be pets and they're coming back to me. As soon as they get to be about 2 years old or so, they are physically and, you know, sexually mature, and they want nothing to do with people, not even people that have raised them. They will, you know, spray to mark their territory, whether they're male, female, neutered or not. They do not make good pets. And the ones that Carol had sold to people, she always told them with visions of the animal auction and Windsong in her head, if you ever come at the time it comes, you don't want this bobcat anymore, I will take it back. And sure enough, after a couple of years, everyone, you know, approximately, was returning the cats to her. And she's had to start building cages to keep them in. And that's really how the sanctuary started. She's, of course, done a 180 now. We do no breeding. We never purchase any cats. We will take in cats from private owners if they sign our contract to never own another exotic cat. And we do not breed. We have figured out that it's actually cruel to breed an animal for a lifetime in a cage.
That's one of the things that I was so impressed with, is going through Big Cat Rescue. And thank you very much. You just gave me a tour that was unbelievable, quite memorable. And what I was so impressed with, besides just the layout, which I would definitely want to talk about, is that there is true transparency in what you're doing. You have webcams all over. You have this goal of this rescue facility for advocacy and education. And it's really not a matter of, oh, pretty place to go see cats, a display facility. It just happens to be that they're there. And while they're there, people can go through and be educated. That is just very impressive.
Well, thank you. Yes, I always tell people we are a sanctuary first. Our cats come first. Anything that people, you know, have to do with it is secondary. We do give educational tours because it's grassroots efforts to explain to people the different issues facing the big cats. People don't understand that, you know, it's not well, you know, documented in the news. 5 and 10,000 people with tigers in their backyards as pets in America. No
and
one
I think
keeps
it's
track
mind-boggling.
Of these cats.
How did they get these cats? I mean, how do you just, you go on the internet and say, hi, I would like a tiger kitten?
You can. There are, it's really easier, we always say, to, you know, purchase a lion or a tiger cub than it is to go to your local humane society, because they actually require paperwork and want to make sure that you are a suitable owner. That's not the case with cubs. There are dozens of places in America and others around the world that nonstop breed tigers and lions, especially tigers, because people are more drawn to the tigers with the stripes. And for the first few weeks, while the cub's very small, they can make an enormous amount of money by charging people to hold the cub, pet it, get a picture taken with it, give it a bottle. There's a couple places that even you can swim with a tiger cub in a swimming pool. But they quickly outgrow the ability to be held by people. They're fast growing. By the time they're 12, 13 weeks old, they are dangerous and can, you know, really do some damage to someone. So they become a liability, and these breeders would like nothing more than for someone to take them off their hands so that they don't have to feed them and care for them, and they'll pretty much, you know, sell them to anyone.
This is absolutely mind-boggling. I was just aghast when I was there and you were telling me that really the USDA, there is no federal legislation directing a state, an individual, as to size of cages, what type of animals can be in private ownership. And Big Cat Rescue is trying to change that, correct?
Yes, there are a number of laws on the books right now, and we always say it's a patchwork of state laws, but there is no federal law, as you said. And it's amazing. People ask me all the time, how is this even legal? And the problem is, it's not illegal. So until you have a law, people can own these cats. There are different requirements that the USDA has set up. For example, Florida, where I'm at, technically, it is illegal, as it is in 30 other states, to own a lion or a tiger or a leopard or a jaguar. But it's easily gotten around the law with a loophole that says if you are an exhibitor of big cats, this is part of your livelihood, for $40, you can get a USDA exhibitor license and circumvent the law and own a big cat.
And there's no training that says you have shown a proclivity for being able to properly handle, house, and care for these big cats. You just paid your $40, you're an exhibitor. Is that correct?
Right, right. Yes, and it depends on the state, too. But there's only a couple of states now that have actually said, okay, you know, we are going to phase out the private ownership of big cats. If you already own one, you can grandfather it in by registering it, but you're not allowed to purchase anymore, or acquire anymore, or breed any that you currently have. And that's a very similar formula to the federal law that is pending right now in the House and Senate that Big Cat Rescue is strongly advocating for, and that's called the Big Cat Public Safety Act. It can be easily found at bigcatact.com. which is a website we set up that explains it and makes it easy for people to actually ask their two senators and their House representative to support the act and co-sponsor it.
And this should be something that can go across the aisle and shouldn't have any partisanship. So cross our paws, a law like this can be actually passed. What's interesting, speaking of laws, there are some countries that have now made the display of cats and elephants, etc., in circuses illegal. And I think that's how you got one of your last animals, Hoover. That is just a fabulous story. Please tell us about Hoover.
I love Hoover. Everyone loves Hoover. He's like the rock star tiger at Big Cat Rescue now. We actually first found out about Hoover in April of last year, 2015. Animal Defenders International, which is an amazing organization, they have gone into Peru and Colombia and several other countries and pretty much rescued most of the lions and tigers and leopards, even cougars, that have been used in circuses. In the case of Peru, in 2011, they passed a law saying no more wild animals in circuses, which is fantastic. We wish that the United States would do something like that. It's amazing that we are so far behind in a lot of animal welfare issues here in the U.S. So, again, ADI went to different circuses in Peru and took on the lions and the tigers. They set up a temporary holding facility in, I believe it was near Lima, Peru. But in Hoover's case, he was owned by a small circus that at one time had as many as 12 tigers. When they passed the law, rather than relinquish their tigers, they went underground. They tried to hide from the government officials and keep their tigers. It was only after about 8 months of trying to find Hoover that ADI got a tip and went in with the wildlife officials, you know, literally with guns, armed guards and the officials to rescue Hoover. He was the last and only surviving tiger of this circus.
Oh, tragic.
So, yes. They took Hoover, very emaciated. He was full of parasites. It's amazing. They weren't even sure he would be able to survive. And they took him back and started trying to find a reputable sanctuary to place Hoover in. They approached Big Cat Rescue, and we immediately agreed that, yes, we would definitely take Hoover. It then took almost a year of red tape between Peru and the United States and the Fish and Wildlife Service to actually get all the paperwork and everything finalized. And Hoover finally arrived in April of this year, 2016, to Big Cat Rescue on, believe it or not, his 12th birthday.
So, and it definitely
so
was
amazing.
I saw it online on your YouTube video, and it's like, oh my goodness, what an endeavor to get this animal from Lima to Miami and then to Tampa. Describe what happened when Hoover touched down in Miami.
Right. Well, he was supposed to arrive at like 6 p.m., and he actually had his flight canceled. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, ADI Jan and Tim, who run ADI, they were desperately scrambling for another plane for Hoover to arrive on. And this was close to Mother's Day. So Hoover actually went from Lima to Peru to Colombia to Miami with an entire cargo load of flowers for Mother's Day.
Oh, flowers.
So he was
here.
The
okay.
best smelling tiger. Right. He arrived in Miami finally about 2 a.m., so very, very late. And
was he sedated
they offloaded
throughout this
him.
Time?
No, he was never sedated. He's
right.
a really good boy. He went right into the transport cage. He never growled or moaned or roared. He was just so amazing. And, you know, it's very dangerous to sedate any big cats. So ADI, as well as Big Cat Rescue, we try to not sedate a cat unless we absolutely need to for medical procedure or such. But he was offloaded from the plane, and the Big Cat Rescuers, we were there to put him in his still in his transport cage into our wagon that was pulled by our Toyota Tundra that we won a few years ago in a contest that Toyota gave us the truck, and drove nonstop with back to Tampa, which is about 4.5 hour drive. And Hoover arrived early morning, Saturday, April 26th, at Big Cat Rescue. The media was there. All the rescuers were there. We were cheering him on. And he came right out and walked out of his transport cage to his new acre enclosure with a lake and trees and foliage. Think about it. he had spent the first year, 10 years of his life in a circus wagon on the ground with, you know, the wood slats and, you know, bars. And then even at ADI's rescue facility where he'd spent his 11th year, it wasn't, you know, treesy and there weren't dens to hide in and stuff. So this is really the first time he had, you know, walked among trees and foliage and been able to just, you know, hide when he wanted to or go swimming.
Looking at the video of him coming out and touching the ground is kind of very tentative. It's like, I'm not really sure what this is. And then touching water, it's like, oh, this is fabulous. So having your now you have a YouTube channel. That's where I saw this. It is just Oh, such a awesome way of feeling like you're there at Big Cat Rescue. Give us the name of, right before we go to our break right now, of the YouTube channel that you folks have.
BigCatTV.com is the easiest way to find it.
That sounds easy. All right. Well, speaking of easy, we're going to stop right now for an easy break. We're going to be right back with Susan Bass talking about Big Cat Rescue, describing some more about the facilities, how they take care of the animals. They even go on vacation. I'm very jealous. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
When I adopted her, she was a mess. Scabs, itching, licking, missing fur, hot spots, a thin, dull coat. So I take the dog to the vet for the standard run-of-the-mill tests and treatments. No results. I hear your advertisement on the radio.
DINOVITE .com.
859-428-1000.
So I get the 5-pound box of Dynavite and the Lico Chops. Within a 4-week total, instead of a German Shedder, I have a German Shepherd. Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life because she gets fed Dynavite. And the results, they're just incredibly outstanding. And she loves it. When you rescue a dog, you have to do the right thing. You've got to feed them right for life. Do the Dynavite. Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE .com.
Hi, I'm Dana Humphrey, the founder of Whitegate PR. We have been specializing in PR and marketing in the pet industry for over 10 years. If you have a pet product or service you would like to promote, give us a call. We can help create awareness for your brand on TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, and blogs. Feel free to reach me directly at 619-414-9307 or learn more on our website at whitegatepr.com or follow us on Facebook.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Susan, you were telling us before the break of Hoover and his compound that he has. How many animals do you have right now at Big Cat Rescue?
We currently have about 80 cats, and we have the big ones like the lions and tigers and leopards, cougars. And then we have some small cats too, like ocelots and the bobcats. Like I mentioned earlier, we continue to have bobcats and African servals. And it's a wide variety of cats that have needed to be rescued over the years.
So you mentioned Hoover had an acre compound. What's, you know, say if you have a lion, what would be the size of that compound, give or take?
Right. It really depends. Generally, our smaller cats have at least 1,200 square feet. And a lot of cats have more than one. All of our enclosures are set up, as we call them, bubbles, so that they can have one, two, or three areas. So if you've got two areas, then you'd have, you know, double the 1,200 square feet. And they move around a lot, too. We have a vacation area that we've set up for the lions and the tigers called the vacation rotation. And so, you know, one of the things we're always trying to combat is boredom for the cats. Think about it, in the wild, they would be roaming hundreds of miles. So no matter how much room they have, an acre sounds like a lot for Hoover, but he would normally be wandering around much larger than that. So we set up a 2.5-acre vacation area, and Hoover actually had his very first vacation with it a couple weeks ago.
He must have loved it.
He
Tell
did.
Us a little
he
bit
did.
About the vacation resort, because take the cats out, I would be more than willing to stay in there. There's a lake and what else?
Yes, there's a lake, there are dens, there are, you know, trees to explore, a whole, you know, perimeter to walk around and spray on and mark your territory. There are platforms to lay up on. There is a fountain that's in the, or like a, you know, sprinkler that's in the lake. Tigers love water, which a lot of people don't know. Lions, not so much, but tigers just adore swimming and being in the water. So, and if anybody wants to see Big Cat Rescue without actually visiting, we have a number of cameras that you had alluded to earlier that are set up by explore.org. And if people go to explore.org/Big Cat Rescue, you can see a number of those cameras. There's one, actually there's two on the vacation rotation area. One's kind of a wide shot of the 2.5 acres, and the other is a tight shot of the food lockout where we feed whoever's on vacation in the morning. You can actually watch them eat. And then we also have a camera on Hoover's Normal enclosure, the 1 acre that we were talking about before, and it's trained onto the area where he swims. So you can, you know, if you're watching 24/7, it's on. If he goes swimming in the middle of the night in the rain, which he likes to do, then you can actually watch him.
And what I really enjoyed about touring your facility, Big Cat Rescue, there in Tampa, was that it wasn't just these vacation spots that had these enhancements, like the platforms. Because too many times, if you go to a small zoo, someplace like this, as you said, there's really such a small area, stand up, turn around, that's about it. And if I understand correctly, you also have an enrichment committee. So people that really put their brains together is like, what can we do to make these cats more relaxed, enjoying their environment? What are some of the things that this committee have come up with that the cats seem to enjoy?
Oh, they come up with amazing things. I don't even know how they do it. I'm not very creative in that respect. But all of our cats have permanent enrichment in their enclosures, which can be things like balls and platforms and just, you know, tours going by is entertaining for the cats. Then they have seasonal enrichment. They get like butterball turkeys at Thanksgiving. Every cat gets a Christmas tree at Christmas. And some of them, the little cats will hide under them. The big cats like the smells. They use them as back scratchers. But then we also have, you know, like you said, our enrichment committee that meets every Wednesday night. And they think about things and they make things. We just had, since it's hot and it's summer, we just had a pool party for some of the cats. We had those little mobile pools that you can fill up
kitty
with
pools.
Water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, kiddie pools, exactly. And then they put like little floating, you know, paper fish in it and ducks and things like that. Again, we only put things in the enclosures that won't harm the cats if they mistakenly eat them. And we never go in the enclosures, obviously, where the cats are because it would be extremely dangerous. But because we have a situation where the enclosure for a certain cat is different sections, we can safely close the guillotine door and keep a cat in one section while our volunteers or interns go in and, you know, put the kiddie pool in and then open the gate and the cats run out to see what's new.
I know that you have a somewhat wish list on your website of different things that the cats like. And one that I just was amazed at, the scent obsession for men. It's like, really?
Yes, yes. It's funny. They have very expensive tastes. Yes, they like Joy Malone. I think it's called Joy Malone. A women's fragrance. It's like over $100 a bottle or something like that. So, and it is funny just through trial and error, but there are a number of cats that love obsession for men. They'll roll around if we spray it on a paper tube or a paper bag or a box and start drooling and that kind of stuff. So it's funny. They also love things that, you know, little cats like catnip. It's a form of enrichment just to take a, you know, piece of catnip and put it in a paper bag and stick it in the cat's enclosure. And a lot of them really love it. The other day we did something which I thought was, I don't know that we've done in many years. It was different. We took potatoes, a baked potato, not baked though, raw potato, and hollowed out the middle and put liverwurst in it. And some of the cats were going crazy for that. So again, it's always mental stimulation that there's something new in their enclosure. Just like, you know, I have domestic cats and literally if I put a newspaper down on the floor, they run over to the newspaper like, oh, what's this? You know, let me lay here. It's something new. And big cats are the same. So we try to, with our enrichment committee, give them the best possible life that we can, even though they are in captivity.
Now, this is a forever home, and we can talk about the bobcats. Some of them are actually rehabilitated and released. But having, here you had Hoover from Peru that they're saying, we need a home, they contacted you, but you can't adopt them all. How do you decide which cats you adopt?
Right, right. Well, we look at several factors. It does cost us about $10,000 per year to feed and vet care for the big cats, the lions and the tigers. And then, of course, it's less for others. But we look at the financial commitment. We look at the number of keepers we have. Do we have space for this cat? And, you know, the ability to take care of it. We only have a certain amount of keepers that have enough experience, for example, to work with the lions and the tigers. You have to be here as a volunteer or an intern for several years to get to that level. Then we look at, you know, where's the cat coming from? If it's coming from a private owner who simply wants us to take the cat off their hands, we'll say, okay, we will do that, but you have to sign our contract that you will not turn around and ever own another exotic cat. We don't want to be the dumping ground for last year's cubs that were used for cub petting, and we don't want to just have people offload their cats when they get older and sick because they want to get, you know, new young cubs or kittens.
And you were saying, well, I had alluded to earlier about Savannah cats, and a little bit surprised going through, it's like, oh, that's a Savannah cat. And people will get these hybrid cats and keep them as pets. And there have been times I've walked into some of my exam rooms going, ah, Savannah, gorgeous. But tell us a little bit about the backstory of how these hybrid cats are bred, raised, and what happens to too many of them.
Right, right. Just for example, anyone that can go on our website, and we have all these different, you know, we have, I think it's 20,000 pages. So if you just search, you know, Savannah cat or hybrid cat on our website, you can get a lot of this information as well.
Great, thank you.
But sure, Savannah cats are probably the most popular, or Bengal cats, of the hybrids. And what it is a Savannah is an African serval, which is a wild cat from Africa, just like the name sounds. They look like small leopards that's been bred to a domestic cat. And the whole point is, after a few generations, supposedly, the wild attitude has been removed from the cat, but it still has the exotic-looking coloring of a wild cat. So it's supposedly, you know, good temperament, but a beautiful cat. And they're sold for thousands and thousands of dollars, as you know, to people who don't understand that, yes, to get that cat that is, you know, remotely docile enough to live in someone's house, it's like a fifth or sixth generation Savannah cat. The first few generations probably, you know, didn't even live, or the mother cat maybe, you know, died giving birth to these kittens, which are larger than they're supposed to be giving birth to. It's a sad existence. We do get calls quite frequently from people asking us to take them off their hands. You know, they howl, they spray, they, you know, don't get along with other animals that you might have in your home. It can be dangerous for them to be around children or the elderly because they do bite. So, you know, there are thousands and thousands of domestic cats in shelters looking for homes. We strongly urge people to, you know, make one of those cats a member of your family. Don't go out and buy something just because it's different or unique and partly wild.
They are gorgeous, but really the best thing to do is, I totally agree with you, find yourself a nice domesticated cat, because even they can be feisty and they can be just as gorgeous too. I know that Carol Baskin started all of this, you know, with llama to the bobcat, and you're getting bobcats there because they are so common there in the Tampa area. And many of these cats have been hit by cars, you rehabilitate them, and then you're able to release them. Now, how do you do all this and have them not get habituated to people, because you're having to handle them and treat them, and it's not going to be just a quick turnaround? How do you do it? That's absolutely amazing.
Right, right. As you said earlier, when we take in just about every cat that we have, such as Hoover, we are their forever home. The only exception to that would be Florida native wild bobcats that have been injured or orphaned, and someone has contacted us to see if we can take the bobcat in and hopefully rehabilitate it. A lot of times they have been hit by cars. We rescued a bobcat named Thor here in Tampa in February, and he'd basically taken a car to the face. Mm-hmm. He had a shattered jaw. He lost sight in one eye, almost lost his eye, except we had such amazing eye specialists come in and treat his eye. And the dental work, they had to remove a couple of teeth. We actually brought in a dental specialist from the Miami area to work on his teeth. We have just this past week rescued a small female bobcat kitten found in the middle of the road, a highway, all by herself. And the Good Samaritan who rescued her actually thought she was, you know, a domestic kitten, because you can't really tell when they're very small. She's only about 2 months old, scooped her up, got her out of the street, realized it was a bobcat, and took her to, I believe, a vet, which then in turn knew about Big Cat Rescue and contacted us at 10:30 at night. Jamie Veronica, who's president of our sanctuary, she jumped in the truck that we keep loaded with nets and dog carriers and headed across the state to go rescue this little kitten and bring her back. So with this kitten, as with Thor, we will rehab and hopefully release her. She, you know, had not gotten hit by a car, so she's an excellent candidate. When we have a young kitten like Spirit Feather, that's what we named her, we do not talk around her. Only Jamie and maybe one other person goes around her. In Spirit Feather's case, she's so young that, you know, we had to handle her and give her her first kitten shots. But the older cats, we try to not even handle them unless they've been sedated so that they don't start, you know, imprinting on people. In our rehab area, no tours go near there. I don't even go back near there. No one who doesn't absolutely need to be there goes there. We have a perimeter set up for them with, they can't see any other cats or any other people. Then we have a tube system where when we get to the point of making sure that they are able to catch wild animals to fend for themselves in the wild, then we put rats in the tube so the cats don't know where the rats are going to come up out of. And kind of like a whack-a-mole game. And we make sure that they do know how to hunt. For example, Spirit Feather, she has no mother to teach her how to hunt. So we will ensure that, you know, she knows what she's doing and can fend for herself before probably 3-4 months from now we release her in a remote area in Florida, and she'll be on her own. She'll be able to go be a wild bobcat like she's supposed to be.
Awesome. You keep talking about volunteers and your keepers and going through this facility. It's like, oh, I want to do that. And being a veterinarian, I have a feeling I'd be starting at the bottom of the barrel, being a volunteer and working up as keepers. Tell us a little bit about how these volunteers are trained and how your keepers are trained. And there's really a hierarchy to it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We have two kinds of volunteers. We have people who live locally and they go home at night and they, you know, come back on the days that they're scheduled to volunteer. And then we have interns who come from all over the world and they apply to come and live on property for 3 month periods at Big Cat Rescue. No matter which way you start off as a volunteer or an intern, you either start off in the gift shop and you start off taking online classes. You get to know the cats and you help with the feeding. You start off as a red shirt, we call them, and then, you know, they can take care of some of the smaller cats. And every day they have scoopers and tongs and, you know, we remove the feces from every single enclosure. The cats are fed in the morning. They clean off the stones where the food is laid. They clean out the water dishes, you know, all bunch of different things that they do. They weed. They help them build platforms, just a number of things. And then they can move up to yellow and then to green, like a stoplight. And then there's even beyond that to work with the big cats. You have to be, you know, a green keeper or a master keeper. So it, you can tell what status someone is on the property by the color of shirt that they're wearing.
It was enchanting walking through the exhibits with you and seeing these compounds. Oh, you're so close. You just, oof. And some of the keepers, you know, are just right there by the cats. It's like, oh, can't you just kind of reach out and touch the kitties? And you said, nobody touches these cats.
That's right. That's right. We think it really sends the wrong message if we reach in and we pet a cat. It's not respectful to understand that these are wild cats. They, you know, they didn't ask to be in captivity. They didn't ask to spend the rest of their lives in jail cells. And we don't want people coming on tour, seeing us touch the cats and saying, oh, wow, if they can do it, you know, they must be able to be tamed or would make good pets. I want one. We actually, you know, give guided tours of the sanctuary 6 days a week. And we explain to people, you know, the circumstances of the specific cats they're seeing, how they ended up in captivity in the first place, and why it's wrong to own these cats.
Susan Bass, Big Cat Rescue, if there's one thing that you really want to impart to the listener, what would that be?
The one thing that I always want people to understand, and it's the easiest thing in the world, is never pay to touch a big cat or a cub. There are dozens of places that charge, you know, $20 or so, like I was telling you earlier, to, you know, hold a tiger cub or pat a baby lion or get your photo taken, even with, you know, an adult cat. Just say no. Just don't do it. The 10 minutes or so that you spend with that cub can equal a lifetime of misery for the cub. We've even set up a website to talk about that, and it's cubabuse.com. And if people want to learn more, they can go there, and it explains, you know, why you should never, never touch a big cat or a cub.
Wonderful. And your website again?
BigCatRescue.org.
And your YouTube site?
BigCatTV.com.
They can remember that. I've had the joy of visiting, seeing Big Cat Rescue, and chatting right now with Susan Bass of Big Cat Rescue in Tampa, Florida. Susan, thank you so much. This is just such a one in a million facilities. You're doing just a wonderful, fabulous job.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner, but not of a big cat. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.